HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. I am an assistant editor at Mint. I keep a close track of all that is happening in the world of stock markets. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets. In the last monetary policy review, the Reserve Bank of India left key interest rates unchanged as widely expected. The monetary policy stance remains accommodative and the tone is explicitly dovish. It is quite evident that growth remains the policy priority for the central bank. The RBI has also reiterated its stance of keeping liquidity ample and borrowing costs low. The question is, however, is this enough? In order to ensure a faster recovery, do we require more support from fiscal authorities? RBI has ensured that systemic liquidity condition will remain ample. But what about distribution? To discuss that, I'm in conversation with Rupa Rege Nitsure, Group Chief Economist at L&T Financial Services. Hi, Dr. Rupa. Welcome to the show.
Hi. So first up, I would like to know your comments on the RBI monetary policy review. Of course, the central government, the central bank has kept its the key interest rates intact. But besides that, on the commentary, what do you think?
Overall policy was in line with street expectations as well as our own in-house expectations. They had very limited choice. And then second wave of COVID has been very intense in terms of its spread as well as mortality rates. So naturally, the focus of central bank has been on growth revival. And they have kept aside inflationary concerns for the time being. So the whole commentary, I feel, reflects RBI's position that whatever it takes, it wants to do to support growth revival. And that was very much in line with everybody's expectations.
Right. But because RBI has made some changes with the GDP forecast and also on the inflation target, do you think this move is a bit worrisome for economists?
I was not expecting them to revise growth or inflation targets so soon, rather than targets, the growth and inflation projections so soon, because, the virus is still spreading and the countervailing measures from both the government and Reserve Bank of India are still evolving. And it takes some time for the real economy to respond to those measures. But as I said earlier, the second wave has been quite intense and a lot of states have imposed localized lockdowns, restrictions, which has impacted economic activity very severely. And that is getting reflected in all basic high frequency indicators like, e-way bills or your electricity consumption, diesel consumption, railway freight, port cargo, cement dispatches, steel consumption. So everywhere we are seeing a severe deterioration. So factoring in this deterioration in economic indicators in the months of April and May, and also considering the future uncertain economic growth trajectory, I think they have revised downwards their growth projection from 10.5% to 9.5%, which is by 100 bips. But we may expect them to come out with more revisions in subsequent policies because, as I said, the trajectory is still very uncertain. On inflation front, they have not revised the target, but they have revised their expectations of inflation or projections of inflation very marginally. Their earlier inflation projection for the whole year was 5%, and now they have revised it upwards to 5.1%, which is nothing. And I feel personally that it is a gross underestimation given the pace at which global commodity prices are increasing, and all these restrictions and localized lockdowns and have again given rise to a disruption of supply chains, etc. And we are seeing price pressures getting built up across various goods and services. So I think there is a risk that they will revise it again in subsequent policies.
Okay, so revise downwards, you mean, or upwards? Because
they will revise inflation upwards.
Okay, because globally, inflationary pressures are being felt, especially if the commodity price is going high. So you think that probably it is going to be increased.
That is, of course, as you rightly said, the major pressure, because at least two economies of the world are growing at a faster pace. One is the US and other is China. And that has improved demand optimism for global commodities, and hence there is an upturn in the global commodity prices. And since India imports almost 70% of its total oil requirements, whenever there is an upsurge in global oil prices, it directly impacts Indian inflation. But more than that, as I said earlier, the localized lockdowns again have given rise to disruption in supply chains, and that may also exert upside pressure on headline CPI numbers. So both these factors put together will create, will enhance the CPI inflation trajectory.
Right. What about your GDP target for this quarter and for this fiscal wholly? Has it been revised after the second wave hit major cities, especially like cities like Maharashtra, which contribute majorly to the GDP?
You mean my GDP projection for the full year? Yes. But as I said earlier, Naseem, this is too early to undertake any revisions, because India has a very high proportion of unorganized sector and services sector. And, maximum losses have been incurred by these sectors because of these localized restrictions, etc. And those economic losses are not correctly captured even by our official GDP numbers. And this is said, the Central Statistical Organization clearly says this whenever it comes out with provisional estimates, that our data collection efforts have suffered a lot because of the pandemic, and these are very provisional. So I personally feel that the actual GDP loss will be much higher than 100 bips. Whatever Reserve Bank of India is expecting is also, lesser than what is going to be. But then we may not get a real sense of the problem until these provisional estimates get revised. And that revision may not happen soon, because as I said earlier, our data collection efforts have suffered because of the pandemic. So I'm also expecting, more than 150 bips or 175 bips minimum loss to GDP estimates.
Okay. So what about the liquidity system? RBI has made sure that there is enough liquidity in the system. Even in the latest policy, it has made provisions for banks to give out loans to contact-intensive sectors like airlines, salons, parlors. But there is a question or a concern about the distribution of liquidity. So what do you think, what would be the challenges as far as the distribution of this liquidity goes?
See, there are, I don't think there are challenges to distribution of liquidity, but there are challenges to demand for credit, because see what happens, Reserve Bank's measures, or any for that matter any central bank's measures, are primarily to establish financial stability, and this kind of liquidity creation is primarily undertaken so as to keep cost of borrowing within limits for both the government as well as the private sector, because we know that government also has been financing its expenses by taking recourse to market borrowings. So RBI has been trying to support government market borrowings program, as well as they are trying to support the private sector. But just by creation of liquidity, you don't create demand for credit. Unless borrowers start borrowing more, and unless lenders start lending more, they will not. This liquidity will not get translated into credit, which will fuel growth. Today, everybody has been, you know, kind of postponing their plans to spend, whether you and me as consumers, or entrepreneurs as investors, or banks as lenders. You know, everybody is postponing their plans because of economic uncertainty. And that's why we have seen, even after such massive liquidity creation, the demand for, you know, the actual credit growth, the non-food bank credit growth, is just 5 or 6%, which is very, very low. So point is that liquidity, this liquidity creation will not improve investment or consumption confidence. For that to improve, you know, we need measures from government through its fiscal policies, not just from central government, but also from state governments through various sectoral measures. And Reserve Bank of India, I think, in its policy document, has given that message very clearly.
Okay, so what I've understood is you're saying that despite this easy borrowing measures, probably it will not stir the consumer demand, which is expected, because probably there is a kind of people are holding back their purchases or buying because of course the loss of income because of the pandemic. So what according to you should be the measures that should be coming from the government, either from RBI or from the finance ministry, which will kind of stir the consumption demand quickly? Because I remember even in the budget this year, most of the measures were basically to create a cyclical demand, but then of course we had the second wave, and that would not be immediate, like the capex that the government had, or the proposal for the capex. So what according to you should be the immediate measures by the government?
Well, when I spoke about demand, I didn't mean only consumption demand. I also meant investment demand. That's right. Why I said, you know, yeah. So that is also equally crucial. So what I feel here, we require two kinds of responses from the government. You yourself mentioned about the push which government, central government's union budget had given in the month of February to the overall capex, which was very good because, you know, spending on roads or infrastructure sectors definitely helps economic revival through the accelerator and multiplier implications of that spending, because when in bad times you spend on steel and cement, it has potential to improve the nation's GDP growth by 1.5%, which is quite massive. This is an empirical finding. So that push was good. So I feel that now again, because of this second wave, you know, whether central government or state governments, their focus has shifted to health sector. And they have to spend a lot on health infrastructure and vaccination and many other imperatives. So there is a fear that that may adversely impact their spending on infrastructure projects or capex. No, that should not happen, because you see, going forward, even government's revenues depend a lot on job revival and growth revival, because tax revenues are directly linked to overall economic activity. So government should not postpone under any circumstances its proposed plans of CAPEX, both the central as well as state governments. But for demand stabilization, we know that the brunt of this pandemic is borne by poor people, both in urban as well as rural areas, and also by small businesses and micro and small businesses, etc. Unlike the first wave of this pandemic, this time the pandemic or the virus has spread to India's hinterland and rural areas, which is a very worrisome factor. So I think government, as economic stabilization measure, or as you rightly described, demand stabilization measure, should undertake direct cash transfers, create more jobs through MG Narega, provide support to farmers through PM Kisan kind of schemes, and also help them by reducing, say, taxes on fuels, GST, etc. That will help both rural and urban poor, and rural and urban micro and small businesses. So I think measures have to be along two lines. One, the demand stabilization measure, which will focus on providing direct income support to poor people as well as small companies, and the other major CAPEX measures, which will kind of give support to infrastructure projects or big projects, and that is how you know, the process of growth will commence in the economy.
So lastly, Dr. Rupa, what are your views on the GSAP 2.0 that was introduced, and on the RBI's borrowing program?
The government's borrowing program has been massive, and that's why there is a lot of apprehension amongst the fixed income traders as to what kind of liquidity creation Reserve Bank will undertake to support such large size market borrowings. So already they had GSAP 1, this government securities acquisition program, under that GSAP 1 also, they have now said that the remaining remaining portion they will spend on 17th of June, and then they have again 400 billion, I think, and again they have come out with GSAP 2, which is for the second quarter, and that is quite massive, of 1.2 lakh crore. So it is sizable. So definitely it has helped protect the sentiment of government securities traders, and Reserve Bank, by announcing that well ahead of time, has tried to support the market sentiment. But as I said earlier, markets also respond to underlying fundamental factors. So while GSAP 1 and GSAP 2 will help control spikes in government security yields or corporate bond yields, markets will still be nervous about the fact that inflationary pressures are rising, inflation expectations are rising. Globally, there is a possibility that Federal Reserve may undertake taper, because the U.S. economy has been on track and growing at a decent rate. And there is also, a fear of global commodity price inflation. So all these factors will continue to weigh on market sentiments. So despite this kind of liquidity creation, we may not see any significant fall in bond yields. They will not rise much, but they will not fall also much. So they will remain range bound. That is what I feel.
Okay. On that note, Dr. Rupa, it was a lovely conversation and thanks a lot for giving your time and have a safe health. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com or you can reach out to me on Twitter at @nasreenstory. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.